Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. My name is Bob Dancer.
And I'm Mike Shackelford.
Our guest tonight is Buddy Frank, Vice President of Slot Operations at Pechanga Casino, which is halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego, California. We'll be speaking to Buddy shortly. Last week's show with Ann Friedleften has received more favorable comments than almost all of our others. Some of you missed picking it up from bobdancer.com because my IT lady was out of town and the show didn't get posted until Tuesday, which is 4 days later than usual. Anyway, if you missed it, you can pick it up from bobdancer.com or always at wizardofodds.com or richardmunchkin.com. On the show, Annie listed the states where you could deduct gambling losses from winnings. We got a correction to that from Daniel Weber, who is CPA in Kentucky. Weber says, in Kentucky, they allow deductions of gambling losses, but only on wagers in Kentucky. The only legal gambling avenues here are state lottery and horse betting at Kentucky Tracks. Where I live in Louisville, there's a casino across the river in Indiana. And if you get a W-2G from there, you can deduct your losses. You cannot deduct your losses at the casino on the Kentucky state return like you can on a federal return. Thank you, Daniel, for the update. We've spoken about loss rebates several times on this show, but we continue to get questions about them. Send in to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. This week's question was, if you have to lose to take advantage of the rebate, how can that possibly be a good deal? Aren't you trying to win? Michael, why don't you take a swing at that one?
Yes, it sounds paradoxical, but to take advantage of the loss rebate, you do have to lose, and you don't want to lose, but it's still true. And the way to take advantage properly of a loss rebate, as I've mentioned before, is you want to shoot the moon. You want a really big win or a small loss. So most of the time, you're going to achieve the small loss, and at least you get to claim that rebate. Now let's look at a situation of roulette. Let's say that you could do this in roulette with just one spin. Say you bet $10,000 on a single number in roulette. If you win, great, you get 35 times your money. If you lose, you lost your bet, but at least you get 10% of it back. And I forgot to bring my notes, but that would still result in a player advantage because you're getting that 10% back most of the time.
Very good. It sounds weird, but this rebate is a good deal. Now, the person who asked us that, he forbade us from using his real name. He's from the UK, and he says that if casinos found out there that he was a good player, he would be removed with extreme prejudice. Now, there's a chance I'm not used to the British sense of humor, but that sounds like they play for keeps over there.
Now, I would imagine if I got asked to leave at a British casino, they would be very proper and polite about it.
No extreme prejudice?
No, they would probably something like, sir, you know, we have a problem with your business here. You know, we're terribly embarrassed to ask you, but you're not allowed to play anymore. But, you know, please have dinner on the house. Wouldn't it go down something like that?
In your dreams. Okay. We received another email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com about the Video Poker for Winners software. The writer had discovered when he followed the strategy listed on the software, he occasionally got some small errors. He wanted to know if I wanted to be informed of what those errors were so I could improve the software strategy in the future. The answer is, no, I don't want to know. The strategy is intentionally slightly simplified and doesn't explicitly consider most penalty card situations, simply because penalty card situations are more difficult than most players want to get into. For example, in 8-5 bonus poker, a suited King 10 is eligible to be held unless there's another card of the same suit in the hand, such as King 10-2, or King 10-3, or King 10-8. In those cases, the king by itself is better to hold than King 10. That additional card of the same suit is called a flush penalty. On the strategy, it says to hold King 10, so the strategy is going to be wrong every time there's a flush penalty. If you go to the strategy page on the software, you'll see a place at the top where you can click on Show Report. That lists every kind of hand where the strategy play is incorrect. It turns out that variations of this particular hand with King 10 and a flush penalty account for more than 3/4 of all the differences between strategy play and perfect play. So if you learn that one hand, you're playing very, very close to perfect. Now, if you go to the Wizard of Odds website, Shaq has a video poker strategy calculator you can use there. The strategy also lists a basic strategy, and then it separately lists the exceptions. The exceptions his strategy lists are identical to the ones that my strategy lists, although they use a different format, and different people will find one format better than the other. Software products get you to the same place.
That answer goes for me, too. People are always writing to me saying, you know, this demo game on your site said to do this, but this strategy said to do that. And it's exactly the same case, as the strategy was a simplified strategy that is not 100% perfect.
And most people do not want 100% perfect strategy.
Exactly.
Really
don't. Exactly.
It is way too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The last listener question we're going to deal with tonight deals with somebody who wants to know about playing the machines at a bar in a casino rather than the machines on the main part of the casino floor. He thinks that, generally speaking, the machines at the bar would be a poor choice. Mike, what are your feelings about that situation?
Well, first of all, you absolutely have to play the best game. But assuming that you can find the best game at both the bar and somewhere in the casino, then it just should go down to comfort level. Assuming also that the game speed is the same. And I would probably choose the machine that is not at the bar, because bars tend to be a little smokier. I like to go off in the quiet corner and hopefully play by myself as much as possible.
Great. I agree with that. Other reasons tilting in favor of not playing at the bar are the buttons on a bar machine tend to be stickier. They are usually... people spill their drinks and stuff, and they get into the buttons area, and so the buttons don't work as well. The people you're playing next to frequently are wanting to chat with the bartender and the player next to them rather than play serious video poker. Also, if you're a slow drinker, bartenders get annoyed. They want you to keep drinking and keep tipping. So, however, sometimes the best game in a casino is found at the bar. At Sam's Town, for example, one of the best dollar games, 9-6 Jacks or Better Progressive, is found at a couple bars. And the last time I played at Pechanga, which admittedly was maybe 3 years ago, I played $5 NSU Deuces Wild at a bar in their high limit room. So fortunately, with any video poker, you can look at the pay schedule and determine what the return is on any machine.
That also goes for the Suncoast, where the best game for my bankroll is 9-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe. And far as I know, the high denomination games are only at the bar.
Yeah, there's lots of up to $2 all over the bar, and at the
circular part of one of the bars that goes up to $5 if you want to get a W-2G every time you get a four of a kind.
I believe both bars have some $5 games.
Okay. And if you're playing on a high multiplier day, you do not want to be playing on a $5 game there that calls attention to yourself. They frown about that on that. But you can play the $2 game all you want. All right. Let me introduce our guest. Buddy Frank is the Vice President of Slot Operations at Pechanga Casino in Southern California. It is a big casino, bigger than any casino in Nevada. It is also a classy place to visit. Buddy has been a casino executive in slots and or marketing for more than 20 years. He used to host a radio program, and Shaq and I were both guests on that radio show at different times. So we had Buddy over a barrel, and he couldn't possibly say no when we asked him to be on our show. So he's taught gaming at the University of Nevada, Reno, and at San Diego State University. He's on the editorial board of two separate magazines and is a frequent speaker at gaming industry seminars. Buddy Frank, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hi, Bob and Mike. Glad to be with you.
Thanks for coming.
Assuming we had players not familiar with Pechanga, how would the gaming experience there compare with gambling in Vegas or other gambling locations?
Well, when you first walk in, it's nearly identical. I mean, there's a buzz of slot machines, lights, restaurants, showrooms, everything you'd find in Nevada. Most of the games are pretty similar, but there are some classic differences. There's a couple little irritating California laws that get in our way. For example, I can't do complimentary drinks in California. It's a state law, not our choice. We do have alcohol served everywhere, but we can't give complimentary alcohol. And then there's some strange little rules related to roulette and craps. And those are two games that the state constitution forbids us from playing here, but we've been pretty innovative and figured out a way to play them using cards.
Speaking of that, I find this whole thing with playing roulette and craps with cards or whatever in California to be completely ridiculous. Is it just me, or has anyone in Sacramento ever said, you know, who are we kidding? They're still playing the games. Why can't they just play them the normal way like they do in Vegas?
From your lips to God's ears, Michael. It's absolutely ridiculous, but it goes back. It's been in the Constitution of California that all gaming was legal unless otherwise changed. And when the what's called the IGRA law came down in 1988, allowing the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, it allowed states to gamble, Native Americans to gamble in any other form of gambling that was legal within the state. And so most casinos, Indian casinos, started with bingo and progressed there on out. They actually used an obscure decision on the California lottery gaming machines to get slot machines legal. And blackjack games banked and so on. But one they couldn't get around was the use of dice and roulette, which is an old California law. Now, there's been three or four ballot initiatives in California, and they do these all the time, that said, let's get rid of that and let's allow regular roulette. But some of the anti-gaming, or in some cases pro-gaming forces, like racetracks or card rooms who wanted to expand and get slot machines, always attach riders to those laws that were unfavorable for other reasons. So to date, I think if the California citizens got an initiative before them to say, could we have dice or roulette, that they would certainly pass it. But they've been unable to do so before without special interest attaching riders that were unfavorable. Interestingly, the card version, the odds are exactly the same. Some people think, oh, it's better or worse. It's exactly the same. The way we play it, the roulette here in Pechanga actually feels a lot like the roulette. We do sort of a big six wheel laid flat with a bunch of cards, 1 to 36 and a single and a double aught, and spin the wheel, and it almost feels like roulette. But the craps game, I'm with you, it doesn't feel right at all. Instead of rolling the dice down the table, we turn over two cards. And the cards are numbered 1 through 6, multiple decks, and we just turn them over. And to me, that loses a bit of magic from the game. But as I think Michael can explain to you, it's exactly the same odds as if you were throwing the dice down the table. But kind of loses some of the romance in my mind.
I agree.
It does sound a lot faster to turn over cards.
It can be, but, you know, it still takes time to place the bets and the dealers to figure out the odds and pay them off. So the speed's about the same. It actually could be, it's about the same. You don't have to fetch the dice, but we do have to wait till the players are ready. And on most crap games, that's what takes most time anyway.
Yeah, well, the dealers rarely throw the dice off the end of the table when they're using cards.
Amen. But we can't short stick the pretty ladies either, so it goes both ways.
That's a drawback.
Now, hopefully everybody knows what I'm talking about with that one. So,
do you want to explain it, or do we just want to move on?
Short stick's an old term in Las Vegas. My very first job in gaming was at Harrah's Reno, working a craps table, and sometimes you would get very attractive ladies playing at the end of the table, and some of those ladies...
Only with low-cut dresses, attractive ladies.
Yes, some of those ladies would have a low-cut dress. So, as you know, the stick man always grabs the dice and he shoves them down to the player. And normally they shove the dice very close, so the player just casually reaches down, grabs the dice, and throws them. But, now, I would never do this, but reportedly some dealers would shove the dice down to attractive ladies,
no.
And they wouldn't quite shove it all the way down. So the lady would have to lean further and further out on the table. And this was much to the delight of all the craps dealers working the table.
I'm sure this never happens.
Never on my table.
Now, there's a couple of casinos in your area that have auto-hold on their video poker machines.
Yeah.
Now, the current IGT auto-hold is very good. It has to be, by law, according, as I understand it, to be less than 0.1% away from perfect. And my experience with the machines in California is that the auto hold is better than that. Barona, for example, not too far from you, has auto hold in their high limits slot room. They have NSU deuces, 99.7, plus among other games. Now, auto hold turns every player into Bob Dancer. And so there's not going to be casino or many player errors when they're playing auto hold unless the players override the auto hold, which many do to their detriment. How can a casino stay in business offering loose games, auto hold, cashback, comps, and other promotions?
I think the simple is they can't. And I don't know how much you've talked about auto hold on your program, but a lot of what I learned about it, I learned from you, Bob. And I was very surprised when you gave me your first answer, because I thought, gee, I'm going to ask Bob Dancer about auto hold, and I'm positive he'll say he never uses it because it doesn't hold as true. And you surprised me. You said you do use it, and you enjoyed catching it the few times it didn't have perfect strategy, because you play pretty darn good, Bob. But then I also saw the social stigma of what was going on with video poker, and one of the great attractions to video poker, not for everybody, who plays, but it's they like to have interaction with the game, because as most of you know, the standard slot machine, it doesn't matter who pulls the lever or pushes the button, the outcomes are going to be the same depending on the time at which you push the button. But in video poker, it can be pretty dramatic based on your play levels. And obviously, if someone's listening to the show because they recognize your names, they know you guys know about that well. And you spend a lot of time teaching people how to play better. And I love that fact about video poker, that interactivity. But I kind of thought with auto hold, you simply turn the machine into a slot machine with a pretty darn good return. And to me, it took some of the magic out of the game. So I've kind of preferred not to put on auto hold. If we've got a big enough guest or someone really requests it, sometimes we'll grant that because it's an option on most machines. But I prefer, and I think most of my guests enjoy playing the game without auto hold.
Interesting. I would prefer it to be on, of course.
Tell me why, Michael.
Because I want to play perfectly, and I worry that I'm going to make a mistake, or maybe I'm playing, and it would also open me up to playing games that normally I don't play. For example, if the best game in your casino is one that I don't know the strategy for, bingo, now I don't need to bother memorizing it.
Well, think about if you had something like Ultimate X, which I think is a fascinating new game. I like it real well because it's making some money for me. But would you learn the game if you had auto hold on?
No.
That's my point. You get to learn it. I did want to tell you, you asked about some differences between California and Nevada. And as Bob knows, I played and I was the slot director at several what I consider really, really good video poker houses. One of them was the Atlantis in Reno. And I learned lots of lessons. I made lots of mistakes and learned lots of lessons there. But I had really good video poker players play there. The average player wasn't Bob Dancer, but he was only a notch or so below that. And I had a bunch of Bob Dancers, including the real Bob Dancer, running around that casino all the time. And what I learned there...
I never came into that casino when you owned it, other than to teach a class which you invited me for.
Well, I never owned it, but you were there, and you taught me many interesting things. But I had a lot of good players there who knew exactly what they're doing. And that's where I learned a lot about video poker, about making mistakes and having to make sure your marketing guys don't go crazy. But one of the things that's very, very different here in California versus Nevada is, first of all, we don't have as many video poker enthusiasts as they have in Nevada. As you know, some casinos are 50% and higher in terms of their share of video pokers. Here, most California casinos, it'd be really exceptional if they had 20%, and there's not many of those. And
Pardon me? Valley View would have that many, wouldn't they?
Barona and Valley View are probably the higher, but I don't even know if they're up to 20%, Bob. If they are, it's barely. We're about 12, if you count everything we have out there. But here's the rub. Half of our video poker machines, and they're usually IGT Game Kings, the players are playing video Keno, which, as you know, I set them pretty loose, but they're still, on average, about a four, even the loose versions are about a 4% hold, compared to the video pokers, most of which here are 1% or less with good strategy. So it's just a strange thing. In California, they would not. You'd have a hard time finding a Game King where someone's playing Keno, in Nevada, I mean. But here in California, it's quite common. I think at least 50% of our players will play video Keno on the Game King.
Uh-huh. Well, I have more to say about auto hold, but let's do some more questions, and then
sure.
If we have time at the end, we'll come back to it. Mike, give him a tough one.
Okay. Well, you already addressed this in your comments, but one common belief among slot machine players is that all the outcomes are predetermined in advance. So if a player has been playing there for hours and lost a lot of money, but they feel to their bones that the jackpot is ripe and ready to hit, yet nature calls, they lean the chair against the bathroom as if to say, don't touch this machine. They go, they come back, and they see somebody else who moved the chair, put in money, and hit the jackpot, and they get steaming mad. Do they have a legitimate complaint? Like, that jackpot would have been mine. It was next in line.
Do you think that really happens?
Now, I know the answer to this. Well, I know... there are lawsuits when this happens.
It happens 10 or 20 times a day, Michael. It happens
right.
All the time.
Right.
One is we don't allow them to lean the chair because people trip over it, and then we get trip and fall suits. So we always tell them to turn it around or something, and we will watch it while they go to the bathroom. That said, the scenario you describe happens all the time. And I even wrote several little articles on a bunch of things here in-house, and I call it, he stole my jackpot, because that's what the guest coming out of the bathroom says. He stole my jackpot. I had an interesting question on Facebook today. They said, do these machines have a timer in them so they go off at a certain time? And the answer is sort of yes. They've got an internal clock that's constantly going through random number generators. You guys have probably talked about it, called the random number generator. And let's simplify it and say there's 10 outcomes. So it's just constantly going 1 through 10. It's actually millions and millions, but 1 through 10. And whenever you push that button, it stops on 8. And 8, it goes to the table and looks it up, and it's either a winner or a loser. But it only stops it if you hit the button at the right time when it was lined up an 8. There is no logic at all that when that person comes to the bathroom and would have been there all the time and someone didn't get their game, even if they played and played and played, that they would push the button and time the lineup with 8. So in reality, no, someone didn't steal your jackpot. They were just luckier than you and happened to push it at that microsecond when the one of the umpteen million random number generated combinations lined up that corresponded to a jackpot. But you will never convince anyone of that fact. They think someone stole their jackpot. And the corollaries to that, which I get all the time, is, hey, the machine just hit. It's not going to hit ever again, you know, or at least for a long, long time. And I've been doing this long enough to know that I have seen jackpot hit after jackpot. And, Bob, you know, you probably even seen royal after royal. It's rare, but it can happen because each outcome is truly random. But over time, it kind of all balances out.
You're absolutely right, but let me clarify one thing. With slot machines, it isn't just one number that determines what you win. Each reel has a separate random number drawn, so say it's a five-reel video slot. The game is going to pick five random numbers and then map each one of them to a position on its corresponding reel.
It's a little bit different than that, but essentially you're right. It has one random number generator that generates a number. Then that number corresponds and goes out and tells each one of the stepper motors what combination they should line up to make that pay. So I don't know of too many who do what you describe, Michael, as far as a random number for each reel. More they do an outcome, and then they direct either the video controller on the newer games or the stepper motors on the reels to display that combination.
So you're saying the game only picks one random number.
Yes.
And that determines what the win is, and then the
yes.
game just stops anywhere to produce
that
something.
Combination.
Well, I...
That specific combination.
I have
and
to...
And it matches up to actual real strip stops, is what we call them. Some are blank, some are numbers.
Well, I... With all due respect, I have to disagree with you.
You know, we can probably get a guy or two on your show to tell you that. There's a great guy named Ollie Safari who was the chief engineer at IGT, and it'd be a great one to get on your show. And he designed a lot of that stuff.
Okay.
Yes, he would. I looked at some of his games today. I'm actually in Reno
at
the moment.
He no longer works at IGT. He's got his own little company now called Leap Forward, but a great guy to have on sometime.
Okay, we will pick this up again on a future show.
You got it.
He has.
But the point that both Michael and I made was it is truly random.
Yes. Now, buddy, as far as you know, are the video poker machines in California for a given pay schedule identical to those in Nevada?
For a given pay table, yes. There are a couple of things that are different than Nevada. Nevada law permits a game to be greater than 100% payback, and California law does not. Now, thanks to you, Bob, and some of your friends, there's not too many of those around anymore, but there are some. But California, I can't do a game tighter than 100%. On the other end of the scale, though, California says no game can be tighter than 80%, yet Nevada allows it to go to 75% payback. So I can't go up into the 102 category, but in Nevada they can go tighter at 77, for example. No one would ever do that in their right mind, but the law would allow it.
Can progressives in California get over 100%?
Yes, depending on how they do it. Not as part as the reset, but certainly from a player's perspective, not the casino's perspective, the jackpot easily can get over 100%. And the most common example is video pokers. But many of our own standalone progressives, a classical machine like Blazing Sevens that I think everybody knows, resets at 1,200, and I've done this model about 12 times, but I don't have it in front of me. There's a certain level of that jackpot. I'm off the top of my head, I'm thinking it's like $2,400 or something, where that machine goes positive from the player's perspective. From my perspective in the casino, since we take that money and put it in a liability account, the odds remain fixed, but from the player's perspective, it does go positive.
Okay.
And it is possible to have like a 99.9 game with a 0.2 cash club where the machine plus the slot club pays over 100% 24/7 even though the machine doesn't.
Well, thank God Bob Dancer does consult with some casinos, and all the casinos who've done that in the past sometimes stop doing that. But I have worked at one within the last 10 years where I arrived there, they had quite loose video poker. You know, they had the standard 99.54 and the 98.98s, the 99.73s, deuces that you like, Bob, so much. And then they offered 3 or 4% cash back. And my eyes just rolled back in my head in those days when I saw that, because clearly they didn't understand the math. It was a profit-making machine. And casinos have learned they have to have a nice balance. I think in most cases, most video poker players who invest a little bit of time in learning the game can still sort of beat the house on those odds compared to the real or video real player. But we do make it a little harder because, as you know, Bob, most houses don't give as much return on your players club for the video poker as they do for a standard slot machine because of the difference in odds. And some of them, like here, we have even a tighter schedule for our very, very loosest video pokers. On the other hand, I believe that if a player plays that game well, he'll still beat the regular player on his return.
Okay. Before I forget to ask, is it Pechanga or Pechanga? None of the above.
When you see it spelled, you want to say Pechanga, and virtually everyone comes in. But the owners of the thing, which is the Pechanga band of Lusitano Indians, prefer the name Pechanga.
Pechanga.
Yeah, as though there were you in the middle of there instead of a Chang, so it's Pechanga.
Well, a lot of your patrons are of Mexican heritage, and they would pronounce that A as Pechanga.
Right.
And so whether it's Indian or Mexican, it would come out the same.
Exactly right.
Okay.
All right.
Since that was a quick one, if I can ask another one.
Another one? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, some casinos in Las Vegas, like the El Cortez and the Palms, publish their actual slot machine returns. Has the Pechanga ever done that?
No, we haven't. Most Native American casinos prefer to keep their odds confidential. But I've often talked about this, and I wish I could tell you exactly what they were. And I think Bob's known me long enough to know that I won't ever tell you a lie. I might not tell you everything, but I'm never going to lie to you. But I'll tell you that it's real interesting. Most Nevada casinos have that odds private too with some conditions, meaning the state groups them together in the what they call the over 72 million or over 1 million and then or downtown versus Boulder Strip and everything else. So when you look at the odds published in Nevada, you get a pretty good idea that Nevada has about the best slots in the country overall. The other jurisdictions, yet they don't tell, except those two examples, Utah, the exact odds. But you go back to New Jersey, for example, where every casino publishes the numbers every day. Common sense says, well, they're going to be very loose because of that. Uh-uh. For some reason, they're extremely tight. And I finally think the reason is, since everybody's the same, they can just ratchet it up because no one has any options. Whereas in jurisdictions like Nevada and stuff, obviously people get a lot of feel. Now, students of Bob Dancer knows they can come into any casino, look at the video poker pay tables, and tell exactly what's going on. But you can't tell about the slot machines. I said I would never lie to you. I'll tell you this. The odds in most California casinos, there are some exceptions that I won't mention that start with an H and have an apostrophe S at the end, who have tighter machines. but it's most of these are very similar to Las Vegas. But actually, I think that makes our reel and our video reel products a little looser than Vegas because our pokers as a whole, we don't have as many as Las Vegas. We have a higher percentage of reel and video reel and achieve the same odds. Our reel and video's a hair looser. They've got a lot more pokers, which drives them looser. So we're pretty similar. And I think, therefore, the California, most California Native American casinos and Las Vegas casinos are among the best in the country. As you know, Bob, in most other jurisdictions, it's a bit tighter.
It is, and even with those numbers, like the casino averages 94%, then it's like having 1 foot in the refrigerator and 1 foot in the oven. Doesn't make you comfortable. So there are going to be loose games in several casinos other than Harrah's, and they're going to be tight. And, well, Paloma doesn't have any good ones either. But most of the other casinos have some decent games.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're going to find real good bargains down here in casinos like Barona, Valley View, ourselves. You find some good deals around, and they're decent games. And most of us don't any longer do the thing where one game's 20% and the other game's 4%, so we're average in the middle. Most folks have pretty much an even balance of the game. They have a general philosophy, and then they apply that philosophy throughout the casino floor. That's not always the case, but among the better, more professional operators, it's like that Abe Lincoln thing, you know, you can fool some of the people all the time, all the people, some of the... Well, it's just better not to try to fool them at all. Give them a decent return.
Now, California casinos are run by Indian tribes.
That's correct. With the exception of when you define casinos, you mean full-blown slot machine. There are some of the world's largest, I'm going to call them card clubs here
card
in California.
Card rooms, yeah.
Yeah, Commerce Club, Bicycle Club, Hawaiian Gardens, ones like that. But all the regular casinos with slot machines are run by Native Americans.
Now, if there's a dispute, mm-hmm. players generally have to take it to the tribal council to get the dispute resolved.
Well,
now,
there's a usually an interim
tribal
step.
Council, yeah. Every tribal council has an incentive to rule in favor of the casino rather than the player. So, in practice, how does this work out?
You know, you're right on paper, because here's the owner of the casino who's in on the profits making a decision that I'm going to try to tell you is in your favor. But most of the people have an interim step between you and the tribal council. It's called their gaming commission. Some of them are elected. Some of them, they hire law enforcement professionals to run for them. In theory, exactly what you said could happen. They could rule against the customer all the time. But I think with the kind of news coverage we get out these days and the television reporters and everything, if you did that too long, you would lose your reputation and things. So I've actually got – I worked in Reno, as you know, for a long time, Bob, in Las Vegas. I've got more scrutiny, more controls on me than I ever had in Reno or Las Vegas. And as proof, I believe in all of Reno with multiple casinos at one time, I think they had a staff of about 16 field officers and about 32 total. I have like 100 here in Pechanga just looking at me. So the amount of regulation here is as fierce as anything I've seen in New Jersey, Las Vegas, or anywhere. And they simply do it to try to protect their reputation so they don't lose future business. So I don't know if we had a dispute over $50 million how it would come out, but I know the average Joe and his average thing, our Tribal Regulatory Gaming Commission goes out of its way to be generous to the player so he'll trust us.
Based on a small sampling, I've heard of more complaints going the player's way in the Indian casinos than here in Vegas.
I'll give you a big sample, Michael. I think the same way. And again, sometimes when I come out and say, no, we're right, look at this, the gaming commission will side with the player if I haven't dotted every I and every T. In addition, we're pretty liberal with hosting and things because more than a lot of Vegas places, most California casinos are truly local casinos. So I'll rule in favor of the player because I want his future business. So oftentimes we'll wait for the gaming commission ruling, and they'll rule against you, and we'll say, okay, do you understand they've ruled against you? Fine. Now, Michael, you're a great player, so we're going to give you the award anyway because we want to see it back. And that happens day after day after day.
That's nice of you.
It's a guest service thing because I figure if I can get you coming back time and time again, I'm going to win that money back.
Amen.
Very good.
Okay. Do we have time for another one?
A quick two-minute question.
Okay.
Sure.
I know this doesn't have to do with slots, but at Pechanga, the dealers keep their own tips, which is not how it's normally done here in Las Vegas, and I'm sure that has pros and cons. But would you care to tell us, how is that working out for the Pechanga and the dealers there?
Yeah, I don't do the tables, but this is a subject I've dealt with for a long time, and I like our arrangement here. And there are pros and cons from both sides. Let me tell you some of the pros. Generally, interestingly, it's not mathematically true, but most all dealers assume that if they kept their own, they're going to make more money. The reality is, half the dealers will make more, half the dealers will make less. But set that aside, most dealers think they'll make more money, therefore they want to work here. Therefore, a place like Pechanga could probably pick and choose the best dealers it wants. That's one of the big pluses. Secondly, the dealers invested in the motive of trying to offer the best possible guest service and the smiles and the best thing because their compensation is directly tied to how the players feel. Now, they can influence, hopefully, the win or loss, but they can try to smile and make that guest experience positive. So those are all the pluses. What are the negatives? You're susceptible to cheating. Could they want to help the guests so much to achieve chips that they allow cheating to occur? The obvious answer is you got to have good surveillance. I've heard many people say, well, if you go for your own, you got to have better surveillance. Well, that's crazy. You better have pretty good surveillance anyway, whether you go for own or not. The other thing you have to watch with, and it's very troublesome within a casino, you have to be very careful how you schedule your dealers. Because if you schedule one girl in the high limit room every night, you're going to have a sexual discrimination charge against you. All the other dealers are going to be mad at you. You generally have to keep a nice, fair rotation, or you'll have constant discrimination or favoritism complaints, anything like that. With a split tip situation like you're talking about, no one cares where they're working. They just work wherever, and they all have a smile on their face because they're all getting the same amount of money. But with your go-for-your-own, scheduling the what tables they're on, hey, how come I didn't get the deal double deck or single deck because that's where the big tips are, you've got to be careful about items like that. I honestly don't think, though, that fraud is a huge issue because all casinos should watch their games pretty well and have good, competent staffs.
Okay.
Very good. That was very interesting. If we have time at the end, I want to go more into the auto hold if you have a chance to stick around.
I do.
Good. Thank you. Now, Shaq, what did we learn tonight?
I learned it was pachanga. I really liked the answer about the dispute, and I believe him when he says that they probably bend over backwards to look at it from the player's shoes, and I could picture them giving the money to the player anyway if the casino wins, if it was a good player, which I think is the right thing to do from a business point of view. And I thought that answer about the tips was also interesting,
I had not thought of all those issues on the tips.
Yeah, I heard that there was a lot of politics with the scheduling, but I'm sure they try their best to make it fair.
Very good. So what's new on the Wizard websites, Michael?
Okay, on my Wizard of Odds site, I added a page about a table game called High Five Poker, which has been at the Foxwoods Casino for a long time. And just a few hours ago, I added a page about those display things you see on Baccarat tables that are full of statistics and dots and tables that show the whole history of the shoe. And some of these statistics are pretty obvious, but some of them I have wondered about for years. So I have been nagging a lot of people at the Venetian about it, and I finally found somebody who understood it. And I finally understood it myself after processing the information, and I just finished writing it all up and explaining it on my site.
Good. All right. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else. Every day in August at 9:20, 10 names are drawn in the $1 million August Cash Blast. First prize is $10,000 or $25,000 if you can get there within 10 minutes. The other 9 winners get $1,000 each. Maximum tickets are earned by playing $1,000 coin in. This is a day-by-day drawing, and all entries are discarded after the drawing. This is different than former drawings. Before, you could gather tickets for the whole month. Not now. So if you're only going to be there for a day or two, you're not at a disadvantage compared to the locals who can be there day after day. My next free semester of video poker classes at South Point will begin September 18 on Tuesdays at noon in the showroom. At the Palms, their weekly drawings take place Friday and Saturday evenings. 10 players earn cash. First 5 names called win cash averaging $1,100 each. The next 5 named places earn cash averaging $275 each. Starting tomorrow, the Play, Earn, and Win, Monday, Wednesday, Friday promotion, allows you to earn extra free play at a rate of 0.25%. So this up to a maximum of $88,000 coin in a day. So this is double points because the normal cashback rate there is 0.25% in free play. It's not cashback, it's free playback. 3 days a week at the Palms, you can earn approximately a 75% discount on the buffet if you earn the points that day and redeem them. Now, the best players get 75% every day with accumulated points, but now any players, whether they have a history there or not, can earn the same discount by daily play. At videopoker.com, this month's monthly tournament is Multistrike. Multistrike itself isn't a videopoker.com game, but 5-Play Multistrike is. Now, that combines Multistrike with 5-Play. I'm assuming it's going to be in the 5-Play version that it's a monthly contest. Multistrike is a four-line game where you pay for all four lines at once. That means 20 coins in a single-line version or 100 coins on a 5-Play Multistrike version. You play the bottom line first. If you end up with nothing on that line, the whole game is over. If you end up with any pay, including just getting your money back, you play the second line, and all your pays on the second line are doubled. You get at least your money back there. Your pays on the third line are times 4, and top line is times 8. Randomly, you get a free ride, which moves you up to the next level, whether you score on the current level or not. The correct strategy changes on each line. Video Poker for Winners is the only software that includes this game, and it includes the various strategies for each line. At videopoker.com, you can play for free, and the contest is open from the 23rd of the month to the end of the month. First prize, $500. All right, next week, we are going to have... I'm going to be out of town, so we have a pre-recorded interview with Richard Munchkin, which hasn't been aired yet. So, Mike, have you decided what else you're going to do next week other than the Richard Munchkin interview?
No, I have not. It'll be a surprise.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it myself. I will catch the show on tape afterwards. In 2 weeks, our guest will be sports handicapper Steve Fezzik. He'll be talking about advantage bets in the upcoming NFL season. I just finished the semester classes at Samstown. They have recently added some looser-than-before machines in their high-limit slot area. They now have 9-5 Super Double Bonus, which is 99.695%, 9-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe, 99.64, I think, up to $10 play. They have 9-7 Triple Double Bonus, 99.58, on the same machine or also up to $2 5 play. Since seniors get 5 times points every Thursday, meaning 0.5%, these games are positive, plus there's a drawing on Thursdays for seniors. Now, before they put these games in, the senior drawings averaged more than 0.5% EV-wise. Now, with people playing these machines, it'll be less EV-wise, but it'll still be a good deal. It's positive EV, and the games themselves are now positive with the on Thursdays. All right, let's go back to the auto hold.
Can I hit you with one quick question first?
Of course.
Or a comment. Two things. I want to compliment you two guys on things. Video Poker for Winners. I have no stake in Bob's company. In fact, he never even gave me, despite our years of friendship, a free copy. I love that program. And I've used it a ton.
Right,
I've used it a ton.
Right?
Pardon me?
Is that right?
That's right. I use it a ton.
Had you asked, you would have gotten.
And then Michael Shackelford, if you go out and get his little book, Gambling 102, there's a section in there on sports betting that changed my whole perspective on I now always bet the dog at home, Michael, and I'm finally a little positive. So thanks for those numbers. That was great to know.
Thank you. You're quite welcome, and that's true.
And he didn't give me a free book either, so.
You better be careful, buddy. We may have to have you on the show again if you keep talking like that.
All right.
Now, yeah. 5 years ago, I had a relationship with Barona where I was teaching classes there.
Mm-hmm.
And the auto hold on those machines at the time, it was IGT, the auto hold was terrible. It was maybe 1% wrong or 1.5% wrong, something like that. And so... But the players loved it. It turned a video poker machine into a slot machine, and so they played faster, and it taught them the bad strategy. And then when they replaced it with machines with good auto hold, the players would keep changing the strategy back to what it was on the old auto hold because that's what they thought was right. So this a bad auto hold can teach a player a lot of bad habits.
I can agree, Bob, and I did not know they changed it. I'm going to have to call my good friend John Daly at IGT and ask him about that because I wasn't aware of that. But you're absolutely right about bad habits. If you come into Pechanga now, I think if you take one of Bob's courses, you're going to realize we've got a lot of loose pokers. But there's one poker by our front door that's the tightest poker in the world up there. And when I first arrived here, Bob, it's 6-5, if you can believe it. But when
six
I first arrived
what?
Here, I saw
six
that.
6-5 DAC, 6-5 bonus?
Yes. And I just went, oh, my God, why is that so tight? And so I immediately changed it, and it was an older game, and I also noticed the Keno games were exceptionally tight. And I changed that to be more, and I got a howl of complaints, cards, and letters about why did you mess with my game? Because those people had learned, Bob, it's worse than what you just said, it was on the jacks or better. And I went, don't you know this game? Well, I like my old game. So some people get comfortable with some things and don't want to let it go. I learned that a long time. Now, I added an awful lot of loose video pokers all over, but that loyal crowd still plays those tight games, and it's just phenomenal to me. In addition, with Keno, a lot of players don't understand the difference between a big top award and a lower top award that hits far more frequently, often can be loose, but you can't ever explain that to someone because they get used to something like what you were describing, and they don't like change.
Well, I assume these players, you get their names and then you send taxis for them, and any time they want to come to Pechanga, you'll give them a limo.
That's right, Bob. We enjoy them very much.
Now, a lot of Indian, some Indian casinos are Class 2 and some are Class 3.
We're
so
both.
Some players don't know what the difference is. So in terms of video poker, what's the difference, and is it something the players should be concerned with?
As of right now, no one's got a Class 2 poker out, and I'm begging for someone to develop a good one that I know of, Bob. You may have better sources than I. The real difference is Class 2 game is defined by that law I told you back in 1988 called IGRA. And what Class 2 means is essentially it's bingo or pooled betting. Well, lawyers and very, very smart game designers have figured out over time how to use the bingo math models to develop some models that approximate or imitate slot machines.
2-minute warning, by the way.
You got it. So basically what happens is a bingo ball draw is made, the outcome is determined, then they apply it to a standard reel spinning model where the reels apply what you would have won. Yet, right now, they don't have a Class 2. Why do we even care about that? There's no taxes on those games, and the other games are taxed. So that's why some California casinos have Class 2 games.
Now, didn't there used to be a law that any given casino in California could have so many Class 3 games and the rest had to be Class 2?
Yes. In fact, the numbers for anywhere in California are generally unlimited in terms of Class 2. California used to be limited to 2,000, but many casinos like our own renegotiated. We get to pay a lot more money for it, but we can go up to 7,500. But Class 2, no limit.
There's a division of IGT, I pronounce SODAC, I think, S-O-D-A-C.
That's correct.
1 minute.
Which has a Class 2 video poker machine.
Fascinating. Now, SODAC got absorbed by IGT in general, but no longer exists as a separate entity. But I will check that out, Bob. I would love to get a good video poker on that. And the math model should work.
Very good. Very good. This was fascinating. Although there are other casinos in Southern California which have good video poker with auto hold in addition to Barona. And
I think Valley View has a good selection. And then Paula, I don't hate to talk about the competitors, Bob, but Paula actually has a very nice 99.54 jacks or better with a very small progressive on top of it. And I think it's about the loosest poker in California.
Okay, we got to say goodbye.
Very good, everybody. Thank you, buddy. And everybody go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
You're listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.